Now we continue in Ruth chapter 2 and 3 this afternoon, but just for reference, particularly in light of this morning's sermon, Lord's Day 21 talks about what we believe concerning the Holy Catholic Church, then especially these phrases that stick out. I believe that the Son of God, through His Spirit and His Word, out of the entire human race from beginning of the world to its end, gathers, protects, and preserves for Himself a community chosen for eternal life and united in true faith. And of this community I am and always will be a living member. Certainly Ruth would have testified that she was gathered and protected and preserved by the Lord. That's also, I want to draw your attention to Lord's Day 14, also in light of next week's sermon, but it certainly comes out this afternoon as well. And in Lord's Day 14, it talks about what does it mean that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. And then this phrase, first that He is the eternal Son of God, who is, remains, true and eternal God, and took to Himself through the working of the Holy Spirit from the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, a truly human nature, because that's what we're seeing in the book of Ruth. So that He might become David's true descendant in all things like his brothers, except for sin. So we'll see that especially this afternoon and next week. So let's turn to Ruth chapter 2 and 3. And we'll read that now. And there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. So Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servants who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you're thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." So she fell on her face and bowed down to the ground and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a stranger or foreigner?" And Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother in the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." That's our theme this afternoon. Under whose wings you have come for refuge. Then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, "Come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers and he passed parched grain to her. And she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. When she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves and do not reproach her. Also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until the evening, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives." Ruth the Moabitess said, "He also said to me, 'You shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women and that people do not meet you in any other field." So she stayed close to the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I seek security or rest for you, that it may be well with you?" Now Boaz, whose young women were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself, anoint yourself, and put on your best garment, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do." And she said to her, "All that you say to me, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a closer relative than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he performed the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you. As the Lord lives, lie down until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, and she rose before one could recognize the other. Then he said, "Do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." Also he said, "Bring the shawl that is on you and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. And then she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Is that you, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, "These 6 ephahs of barley he gave me, for he said to me, 'Do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" Then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out, for the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter today." Dear brothers and sisters, this morning we saw how foolish it was for Elimelech and his family to leave the house of bread, Bethlehem, in order to take refuge in the land of Moab, which was under the curse of God. And we saw the tragic results, because there he died, both he and his sons, outside of the promised land, outside of their inheritance, outside of all the means of grace that God had given. But we also saw at the end of the chapter how Naomi and Ruth came back to Bethlehem, And we saw what a miracle really it was that Ruth, of all people, would come here. Because she was not allowed to worship the Lord as the Moabite is. She had lost her husband. She had all kinds of reasons why she shouldn't come. Because she had seen the judgment of God again and again. And yet, she insisted on coming. And here she is. Now in these chapters, 2 and 3, we want to look at these under the theme from verse 12. As I said, under the wings that you have come to take refuge. Because this is what we're seeing in these chapters. And it was a great blessing for her to come to Bethlehem, to the promised land. This was the kingdom of God on earth. This is where God ruled with his laws. He had given this land to his covenant people as their inheritance. It was theirs. And he was the king who ruled with his word. And what a wonderful word it is, because the Lord had given all kinds of specific laws to protect his people and the families. For example, in Leviticus 15, verse 25, if a husband died, the law appointed a close relative. A goel is the Hebrew word. A kinsman redeemer. Kinsman from being a close relative, and that the word goel means redeemer. A close family, male family member who was to marry the widow so that the name of the deceased husband would be carried on in Israel. These laws proved to be a great blessing for Naomi and for her inheritance and the name of her family, as we will see. Now, chapter 2 opens by telling us that there was a rich man named Boaz who was such a goel, a close relative, a kinsman redeemer, but there was someone else even closer. And we will see how this unfolds. In verse 2, we're told that Ruth, being a very practical woman, decides that she needs to go to work and get some food for her and for Naomi. So she asks permission to go and glean in the fields, which she does. And the reason she can go and glean in someone's field, we shouldn't miss this point, is because the Lord had also given laws that would provide for the poor and for strangers, foreigners, like her. In Leviticus 19, verses 9 and 10, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyards a second time to pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and for the strangers, for I am the Lord your God. And in Leviticus 19, verse 34, the Lord gives the reason for that law. You shall love the stranger or the foreigner who lives among you because you were strangers in Egypt. So you see that God made laws that provided for a stranger such as Ruth. There is a great blessing for all who seek refuge in the kingdom of God. Then verse 3 tells us that Ruth left home that morning. And it's interesting the way the author puts it. She just happened to come to a part of the field that belonged to Boaz. Now, I would ask the children here, do you think that just kind of happened? Was that sort of a lucky thing that she just happened to come to the field of Boaz? Or is there more behind this? Well, of course, there is a lot more behind this. And it's kind of interesting the way the NIV puts it. You know, as it turned out, she found herself working. It's like, you know, she didn't quite know where she was, but she found herself working in a field that belonged to Boaz. But of course, it wasn't just happening. The Lord had a plan. And Boaz was a very wealthy man, had a lot of things on his mind, and you can be sure that he had lots to do in Bethlehem. But this is the day that he also came to visit the harvesters in his field, and he noticed Ruth. Who is this young man? He asked. And when he finds out who she is, then he just doesn't leave it at that, but he personally goes up and he welcomes her. And he says to her in verse 8, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field. Don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls, for I have told the men not to touch you. And when you're thirsty, then drink from the water. So what we're seeing is that Boaz immediately takes control to protect Ruth in every way. As we're here this morning, these were the days of the judges, when every man did what was right in his own eyes. Dangerous time for a young woman to be working by herself out in the fields. He's concerned that she would not be molested. But all this kind of kindness and this invitation to glean in his fields is very overwhelming to her. So she says in verse 10, as she bows down before Boaz, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you would notice me, a stranger?" I mean, these are such unbelievable good things that are happening to her. The wealthiest man in town has offered her to glean in his fields for the rest of the harvest. She's a widow. She's vulnerable. She's exposed to all kinds of dangers. And now she has found a safe place to work, a place of refuge. There is security here. Boaz doesn't want her to go anywhere else. And at mealtime, he comes up to her and says, "Come and dip your bread in the thing that he was prepared." And in verse 15, he personally offers her some roasted grain. So she ate what she needed and they brought the leftovers for Naomi to eat. And then on top of all of this, Boaz even commands his reapers to leave some of the grain for her and not to rebuke her in any way. I mean, all this is very overwhelming. Why is all this happening to her? She is being treated like a very special guest. And of course, the answer comes in verse 12. "May the Lord repay you," says Boaz, "for what you have done. And may he richly reward you. May the Lord God of Israel richly reward you, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." She had wanted the God of Naomi to be her God. She had come to take refuge under his wings. And Boaz was very pleased with that decision. But what is so overwhelming to her is that she is already feeling God's love for her through Boaz. She's already being richly rewarded. She is enjoying the blessings of God's loving laws for strangers. And what a contrast to her father-in-law, Elimelech, who went to seek refuge under the wings of the god of Moab, Chemosh. How different is the God of Israel, who treats all those who come to him for refuge in such a wonderful way. The God of Israel has an economic policy that even provides for strangers and for visitors. He has a family policy that provides for a kinsman redeemer. His laws are based on his love, his kindness, and on his compassion. His laws protect all citizens, as well as strangers who have come for refuge in his kingdom. And how good it was for her to experience that this was the God of Israel under whose wings she had come for refuge. So Ruth just feels very overwhelmed by all this. In verse 13, "May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she says to Boaz. "You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, even though I am not one of your servant girls." She didn't feel worthy to receive all this kind of attention and love that she is receiving. She makes no claims to having any right for this kind of consideration. And that's a great comfort to her. How thankful she is for the God of Israel, who has now also become her God. And we notice that Boaz does not take any credit to himself. He gives the Lord the honor. "May the Lord repay you and richly reward you, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." The protection that Ruth is receiving is from God, whom Boaz worships. The God whose laws Boaz is obeying. And therefore, she is receiving these blessings of God through his servant Boaz. It could have, you know, Boaz also could have turned this around. He could have taken credit for himself as if he was the nice guy, you know, but he didn't do that. The word Boaz means in him is strength, but it's not in his own strength, but it's the Spirit of God who gives Boaz strength. He knew himself to be a child of God by the grace of God, and he was just doing what the Lord had asked him to do. He was being obedient to the Lord. In his own natural strength, he may have chased her away or may have taken advantage of her in some way. He didn't do that. Because if he had, then Ruth would not have come to know the God of Israel in the way she is experiencing that right now. She wanted to know the God of Israel. And now through Boaz, Ruth is impressed with this new God that she has come under in this land. And I think, brothers and sisters, this is a very important lesson also for us. Just the way Boaz was treating Ruth. What do your neighbors think of your God? The God that you're serving. Do they know? The guys at work or at school, your other students, whoever, your neighbors? Do they know who your God is? And do they see in us and through us how wonderful God's laws are? And are they experiencing what God has asked of us in the way we live, in the way we love our neighbors, and in the way we care for them and show concern for them? The actions of Boaz proved his words. He was greeted by his workers, "God be with you." And he responded by saying, "God bless you." That's the way Boaz lived from day to day. And that's what gave Ruth such peace and such hope. The evidence is before her what kind of God Boaz is serving. He is a faithful witness. And that's a wonderful experience for those who are strangers to God and strangers to the Word of God. When someone is living the Word of God, being obedient to the Lord and demonstrating that in their life. Because remember how Ruth had only seen God's judgment up to this point on Elimelech and his family. But now she's getting a taste of God's grace and his love through Boaz. And that's the kind of witness the Lord also expects from you and me. For all those who we are in contact with at school or at work or whatever, and we have to ask ourselves that question, you know, what all the people that we have contact with, what do they think? How are they being impressed by our God, whom we serve and we say, whom we love? In the way we express our thoughts and the things that we do. We need to consider this as we're seeing this example here of Boaz, who points clearly to Christ in this book, you know, in such a wonderful way, in that he is going to be the Redeemer. Of course, Christ in a much greater way, but you see a picture of what the Lord expects from his people. But now, coming back to our story, you can just imagine how Ruth must have felt when she came home that night. She started out that day kind of fearful and apprehensive about where she would be gleaning, and then she found such safety and security under the laws of God. She truly found a place of refuge for herself. So she must have come home pretty happy with what she had. This was really wonderful news for Naomi. No doubt Naomi as well all day long must have been wondering, you know, what was happening to Ruth, right? But now she sees Ruth and what she's bringing, half a bushel of grain. And so she breaks out with this joyful expression in verse 19. "Blessed is the man who took notice of you." Now, at this point, she does not know where Ruth has been gleaning when she says that. But she is quite impressed by the food that she is seeing. "Blessed is the man who took notice of you." But then Ruth goes on to explain that the man that she gleaned under was Boaz. And now it's time for Naomi to feel overwhelmed. This must have hit her like a light of bolting. Bolt of lightning. First she says, blessed is the man. And now it dawns on her that there is much more at stake here than what she first realized. Because then she says in verse 20, blessed is he by the Lord whose kindness has not forsaken the living and the dead. That man is a close relative. He is a kinsman redeemer. Now, can you imagine what this must have meant for Naomi when she realized what was going on here? For the first time after so many years, sad years, tragic years, of her husband dying, her sons dying, being in Moab for all these years, the daughters-in-law being barren, that now, again, she sees a little hope here. There is finally some light in the darkness. She can again begin to feel that the Lord's hand of blessing is still with her. For so long she has felt so bitter. She thought God had abandoned her. But now she realizes that God is being gracious. Something is going on here. God is not yet finished with the name of her husband, even though he is dead. Boaz is a near kinsman. He is a responsibility under the law of God. What a wonderful light has just gone on for her. What a wonderful door has just opened. Now that she realizes that God has not left her, but is going to provide for her. So this is how chapter 2 ends. On a very hopeful note of what God will do. And we come to chapter 3. And the harvest is over. Harvest usually begins in April and it goes on to July. 3 to 4 months. And God has provided for all this time, and Ruth has been working out in the fields. And Naomi has had time to think about what to do with Ruth as she is working during this harvest season. And she is devising a plan in her mind whereby she might approach Boaz to fulfill his obligation towards her as a kinsman redeemer. And so in chapter 3, verse 1, Naomi says to Ruth, my daughter, shall I not try and find a home for you, a security or a rest or a home for you so that you will be well provided for? That's the point she's making. And is not Boaz a kinsman, redeemer of ours? Now, I think it's important at this point for us to realize and understand that she has a right to approach Boaz. She belongs to God's covenant people. He is a family member. He's a close blood relative. So she has a right to go to him according to God's law. But she herself is too old to have any children, so now she has to go through Ruth. And that's why she approaches Ruth and suggests how she can do this in asking Boaz to marry her. And so Ruth gets herself ready, gets washed and anointed and dressed up for the occasion, and quietly goes down to where Boaz is sleeping outside on the threshing floor. And again, it's important to realize that what Ruth is doing is not something immoral. She's not using her body to attract Boaz. But God had made a law that allowed her legally to claim Boaz as her redeemer. She has a right to go to him and ask him to take her as his wife. God has opened that door of opportunity for her. So there's nothing immoral going on here. So very quietly she lies down at his feet, and in the middle of the night, Boaz wakes up. Well, you can imagine that this was kind of shocking to find a woman lying at your feet. Who is this? Who are you? He says. He asks in verse 9. And Ruth answers, I am your servant. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are my kinsman redeemer. In other words, Boaz, I'm here to ask you to marry me. So imagine waking up to that as a man being proposed to. But Boaz knows that this is the law of the Lord, and he responds immediately, "May you be blessed of the Lord, and I will do for you all that you ask." The Lord has prepared his heart to take her as his wife. He doesn't even hesitate a moment. But he's a righteous man, and there's a nearer kinsman redeemer, an even closer blood relative that he has to ask for. So he says, if he does it, then fine, but if not, then I will do it. And he gives her an oath. As the Lord lives, I will do it. Now, I want you to notice the phrase that Ruth used, because that's important. The translation here isn't exactly that way, but it's in the footnote as it refers to Ezekiel 16, verse 8, where we read, in Ezekiel 16, verse 8, we read that the Lord spread his garment, the corner of his garment, over Israel, also with an oath, as he entered into the covenant of marriage with Israel. And he said, "You became mine." Well, that's exactly what Ruth is asking Boaz to do, to spread his garment over her. And in that action, he has taken her to be his wife. And he says, as the Lord said, he says, "I will do it as the Lord lives." So, in other words, you know, basically he considers that you could, if that goes through, then marriage is a certain thing. Now, just imagine what this meant for Ruth. What great things God has done in such a short time. Just a little over 4 months ago, she came to Bethlehem as a stranger. And what incredible things have happened in these 4 months. Already from the first day that she went to glean, she enjoyed the tenderness and the love of Boaz. From the moment that he saw her, he greeted her, he welcomed her, he protected her from being molested. He served her lunch with his own hands, and she wasn't even one of his servants. How unusual that was right from the very beginning for a man with his wealth and his stature. And all this he did not even realizing that he was a kinsman redeemer. And now he has sworn to marry her. It's as good as being married. If the other man will not fulfill his part, it's a certain thing. She could not possibly have dreamed that this could ever happen. And yet it happened because of God's word. That's what made it possible for these things to happen. At every point, it is the word of God, what God had said. And that's why, dear brothers and sisters, we can be so encouraged today. Because, as I mentioned this morning, we too are condemned sinners in and of ourselves. Yet the Lord has opened a way for us to become the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. The Holy One of Israel is our Redeemer. And Ruth must have felt herself very unworthy for all these wonderful things to happen to her. But so are we. Here we are this afternoon, a room full of sinners, unworthy of God's grace. Who are we that Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and the Lord of Glory, who owns the heavens and the earth, should take notice of us? Why would he be interested in us? Who are we? Why should he seek us out and be kind to us? Why would he give and come to us and offer us eternal life? Why would he promise to take care of all of our needs, both now on earth and forever? And has the Lord not spoken kindly to us, brothers and sisters? Hasn't he come to us very gently? And hasn't he not encouraged us to stay with him and not go somewhere else? And has he not promised that he would not only provide for this life, but for all of eternity? And that he has sealed that promise with the Holy Spirit, with his word and his spirit, to live within us so that it's sealed to encourage us until he comes again or until he takes us to himself? That he tells us in Luke 11, verse 10, Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And it may be much different than we think or what we think we would like to receive. But what the Lord gives us is always even better. In His great love for us, He not only tells us what He will do for us, as Boaz promised Ruth, but what He has already accomplished for us. Christ has spread His cloak of righteousness over us as His church, as His New Testament covenant people. That He's washed away our sins in His precious blood to be His bride. When Ruth left home that night all dressed up to go to Boaz, sleeping on the threshing floor, there must have been a certain amount of trembling and fear. She must have thought, am I really worthy to be his wife? I'm born under the curse of God. And yet God provided a way for her to become his wife. And that's true for us as well. How the Lord has encouraged us to come to him, to take refuge under his wings. That he comes to us, that he promises us that he will care for us always. As Psalm 9 verse 9 says, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. And that's why Ruth came, to seek the Lord. And she found the Lord. Rather, the Lord found her. As you can see in all this process, how the Lord was drawing her to himself. Also through Boaz to encourage her, as he said in verse 12, that the Lord repay you and give you a full reward because you came to seek refuge under his wings. That's why she came. And if that's the way you come to the Lord, dear brothers and sisters, the Lord is not going to refuse you. All those who are under the curse of sin, if they come to seek refuge in the blood of Christ to be forgiven and to be restored, they can become his, because it's the Lord really who's drawing them to himself. And this is the wonderful news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have a God-given right to claim him as your kinsman redeemer. This is why he became a man like us, in flesh and blood, as our kinsman redeemer, as 1 Timothy 2, verses 4 to 6 tell us. Our God and Savior desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That's the story of the book of Ruth. And now notice how chapter 3 ends. Ruth comes with the good news to Naomi that Boaz has agreed to marry her, but has to wait for that nearest redeemer. So Naomi says, "Sit still, my daughter," she says. Just the way she says it is interesting. In other words, we can wait. It's in good hands. You can trust Boaz for what he has promised. But then notice what she adds at the very end. For the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. Now, dear brothers and sisters, if it was true of Boaz that he would not rest until he would accomplish all that he had promised, how much the more so is that true of Jesus Christ? He will not rest until he brings his bride home to the place that he has gone to prepare for you. He will not rest until you are seated at the great banqueting table prepared for his bride. And he will not rest until he has gathered you into his everlasting arms. Amen.